If you have your Bibles, open up to Ephesians chapter 6. Going back to Ephesians. Yes, we are doing spiritual warfare, going through a lot of Ephesians. Last week we were in 2 Chronicles. That was a lot of fun. Ephesians 6. If you are a believer in Jesus, you are either in the midst of or have just come out and taking a break of spiritual battle. So everything we learn here is applicable to every single one of us. If you're not a believer in Jesus, there is a spiritual battle for your soul. Ephesians 6, I'm going to read 10 through 18, and we're going to look at verse 14a, whatever A is, the first section of the verse. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We took a lot of weeks at looking at his schemes, didn't we? We looked at his approaches, how he tempts us, how he tries us, his tactics, all kinds of things. We looked at that. For our struggle, am I a little loud? Okay. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I just felt loud. I'm sorry. Maybe you just wait. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We also looked at this verse where we are. There's attack on all sides, right? The person next to you is not your enemy. There is somebody behind that person, right? There is a spiritual force. There's a spiritual world that exists that work behind things, especially in the world. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against all kinds of spiritual forces. Verse 13, therefore take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And there are days that are more evil than others, aren't there? There are days when things hit you more intensely than others, right? There's evil days. We are living in the days are evil, the scripture says, right? Paul says that. But there, on the practical side, there are some days where it just kind of hits you out of nowhere and you're like, what is going on, right? It's still, we need the full armor of God in those days especially. And you don't know what those days. So every day we need the full armor of God, don't we? And we looked at how the full armor of God, how it's God's armor who's able to defend against those things. It's not our armor in the sense of our strength and our wisdom and our da-da-da. It's God's armor that defends. Right? And with some time, I'll get to that in a second. Sometimes it's hard to put on the armor of God, isn't it? Yeah, that's the battle, isn't it? That's the battle. We'll look at that. So therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm, stand firm. That's a key thing, isn't it? Four times he's repeating it. Stand firm, verse 11. Resist is kind of stand firm, verse 13. And stand firm is verse 13 again. And then verse 14, stand firm. What's the point? Stand firm, right? We'll get to that in a second here. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, or some translation says having put on the belt of truth. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, or having put on gospel shoes, in addition to all, having taken up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and also receive the helmet of salvation, the sword, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he says, pray at all times with all prayer and petition in the Spirit. We'll stop right here. Okay, obviously we're talking about spiritual warfare, and he's using these sort of metaphors to describe our battle, right? That we are in an intense battle, whether it's like whether it's the temptation, whether it's the trials, whether it's a combination of circumstances, we are in this intense battle. And now he says, if you look at this, he says, stand firm, having done certain things, having put on the belt of truth, having putting on the breastplate of righteousness, having taking up, you know, the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith and the sword, having done all those things, then you're standing firm. Why? Because the attack is coming, and the attack, these armors are meant to help you to resist and to stand firm against the attack. So the armor is the preparation for the battle. Wearing the armor prepares you for the battle. But sometimes there's a battle of even putting on the armor, isn't there? Now, the text indicates that, I don't want to get technical, but it's sort of like it's either having these things been put on you or having you put these things on yourself. Either way, you're wearing them. So they're very important, right? And Paul, of course, is he may be looking at a Roman soldier because he's, we think he's in house arrest. He's got Roman soldiers everywhere. Or he's thinking about Old Testament images that we'll look at in a second. But he's trying to get them to think and getting us to think spiritually. There are certain things that are truths of God that are defenses against the enemy. Okay? Now, some people, when they put on the full armor of God, they actually go like, kind of put on, I'm putting on this, I'm putting on. And that doesn't, okay, it doesn't do anything other than to remind them, hey, I'm doing something. So it's not like I'm putting on a spiritual helmet, right? But it's a reminder to say, hey, there's something to do with my thinking that this helmet is doing. There's something to do with this belt that's doing this, the shield. So it's okay to do that. But the reality is you are applying the truths of God to bring defense. You see that? That's really what it is. And so today, I want to look at verse 14. So look at verse 14 with me. Stand firm, having girded your loins with truth. Now who has, if you have like an ESV, it might say, having put on the belt of truth. Who has a belt of truth? It's just the belt of truth, right? Okay, having girded. How many guys have girded your loins today? We don't talk like that, right? So it may not translate. It means you put a belt on, right? Some of us need belts to hold our trousers up, right? He says, stand firm, having girded your loins with truth. That's what I'm going to look at today. I'm not going to look at the breastplate. It's just too much here to deal with. We obviously realize that there's two kingdoms at work in the world. Kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. Right? The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of righteousness and the kingdom of unrighteousness. The kingdom of truth and the kingdom of lies. Okay. Now, before you were saved, if you were saved, you were born into the kingdom of darkness. All right. When you were saved, Jesus Christ transferred you from this kingdom over to this kingdom. So if you're a believer, you belong to the kingdom of light and the kingdom of God, the kingdom of life as well, right? The kingdom of truth. But though you have been rescued and transferred, it doesn't mean that there's now no exposure to this other kingdom. In fact, all the more you get attacked. And so what happens is that Satan throws everything he can against. He wants to tear down everyone, whether he's taking some people to hell or he's making some people ineffective for God, or tripping them up, maybe they are effective for God, and now he's trying to kind of, you know, make it very difficult, you know, testing out there. And sometimes God will allow Satan to do that. He did that with Job, to test his faith, to demonstrate his faith. Some of y'all who have strong faith go through tremendous trial, not because you're not a believer, but because your faith is being showcased and tried. And sometimes the trials are difficult, aren't they? Oh, yeah. Right? And so you have these two kingdoms that are at complete odds. The kingdom of God, was this side or is it this side? Tell me. This side, right? I'm going to be consistent here. Light and darkness? Is that, or do I have light and darkness? Light and darkness. Okay. In this kingdom, there's bondage. There's slavery. There's blindness, spiritual blindness. Right? Jesus came on this scene. He says, the Spirit of God is upon me, for he's anointed to bring good news to those who are poor, those who are oppressed, those who are in bondage, to bring freedom to the captive. He's rescuing people from here to there. Right? So there's a difference between the two kingdoms. And of course, one of the significant differences is that Satan's currency, well, how he rolls his kingdom, how he does his things, is all based on lies. Everything he says is a lie. There's, in fact, everything he speaks is a lie. Every accusation is a lie. Every put down is a lie. Everything he does, every insinuation is a lie. It's a lie, and that's what he does. So when he speaks, he's the father of lies. John 8:44. Go there real fast. Go to John 8:44. Well, read verse 31 first. John 8:31. Jesus was saying to the Jews who believed, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Okay, so if you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and truth will make you free. Skip down to verse 44. And he's talking with these unbelieving Jewish people who were not accepting him. And he was saying, why don't you understand? It's because you can't hear my word. Because verse 44, you are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. So Satan's kingdom does not revolve around, resonate. It's not founded on any truth whatsoever. It's based on lies. All right? Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own nature. For he's a liar and the father of lies. Okay. A lot of our attacks that happen are lies at us. A lot of what we see and we feel are lies. And his lies bring death. His lies bring darkness and confusion. His lies bring deception. In fact, so much so that Paul talks about being careful of false teaching. Yes. Right? He says that. In fact, go back to Ephesians. You guys there? So go back to Ephesians chapter 4. So we're in chapter 6. So like in chapter 4, in verse 11, he says Jesus is talking about giving gifts to the church, including apostles, prophets, evangelists, and then pastors and teachers. And their job, verse 12, is to equip the saints for the work of service to the building up the body of Christ. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the full knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to Christ, fullness of Christ. So these pastors, teachers, the gifts to the church that God, Christ, these people that are ministering, are teaching so that there is maturity that happens, so that verse 14, that we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. You see that? By the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. Okay, so that's why when he says you put on, go back to chapter 6, he says we're going to put on the belt of truth, and we'll look into that. Satan banks on lies. Everything he says is lies. Everything he does is lies. So the challenge, though, now is recognizing truth from lies. And what do you do with that? You see that? His nature, of course, is complete opposite. God's nature is truth. Right? God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. Okay? In fact, Deuteronomy 32 talks about God as being truth, or faithfulness is another word for truth. He says, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness or truthfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. In fact, every member of the Trinity is tied to truth, Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus Christ claims exclusivity to God the Father. He's not a way, he's the way. He's not a truth, he's the truth. Amen. By the way, he proved it when he resurrected from the dead. Some guys out there can claim all kinds of things, but they have no proof. Jesus Christ, in fact, demons listened to him. When they would see Jesus and he would come on the scene, they would say, what are you doing here? don't throw us into the abyss before. Are you here to punish us? They were deathly afraid. You think they were afraid of the devil, they're more afraid of Jesus Christ. That's the power that truth has over darkness, and light over darkness, and truth over lies. But Jesus Christ is the truth. In fact, John 1 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. I love how the fact that it says grace and truth, because sometimes people want to apply truth like a scalpel, without applying any anesthetic. That's why James says, don't let many of you become teachers of the word. This is a really sharp sword, and if you don't know how to handle it, you're going to hurt somebody.
That's right.
You're going to... All right? That's why I don't cut up my vegetables at home. Because I don't want to hurt myself if I don't know how to use a knife. Sharon's like, we don't eat vegetables. What are you talking about? I thought we were carnivore. No, kidding. But God is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. And, of course, the Holy Spirit, each member of the Trinity. John 16:13 says that when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, and he will not speak of his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come. So, God's nature is that of truth. In fact, Scripture says that God cannot lie.
That's right.
It is completely antithetical to his nature to lie. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. That tells me that a lot of men, we're all prone to lying. Okay? Let's just confess it. All of us are prone to lying. Even to ourselves. Maybe sometimes especially to ourselves. But God cannot lie. And the thing about it is that truth and lies cannot mix. That's what makes the armor of God so powerful, that truth and lies cannot mix. They cannot dwell together in a sense. 1 John 2:21 says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. So as believers, we are to understand that part of the armor of God is, of course, is taking up, in one sense, it's taking up qualities of God. Truth is part of the nature of God. As our defense. You see that? Righteousness, which we'll get to next week, Lord willing, is God's righteousness as our defense. Something that's my own righteousness, you know, I'm going to put together my righteousness. That's going to defend me? Come on. That's going to fail. It's his righteousness. By the way, and I'll point this out next week, is that truth and righteousness are often linked together. If you have truth, there's going to follow righteousness. And we'll look at those scriptures in a little bit. So let's look at the verse here. It says, having girded your loins with truth. What is this truth? And people are curious about what truth is. Now, most of us here have been walking with the Lord a long time. Some of y'all are former pastors and been ministry. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know. So it's by way of reminder. Right? Truth, of course, is something that confirms to actual reality, right? The Greek word is aletheia. It means something that's truth or true statement or something that's dependable and faithful. But something that is in accordance to reality. So when God speaks, what he speaks is in accordance to actual reality. The difficulty is that those of us who have been in the world, have come out of the world, and we get the influence of the world, we still think like the world in one sense, and we don't look at reality through the lens of this. We look at reality through the lens of our feelings. All right? That's a lot of us, isn't it? We judge if somebody even likes us because we feel they must be mad at me. They must not like me because they didn't say hi to me. That's how a lot of us do, right? I'll raise my hand. And the difficult thing is, how do you go from looking through the lens of feelings and emotions and experiences or expectations or whatever to looking at through the lens of God's word, of truth? That's the challenge in putting on this particular armor. By the way, the belt of truth is the first thing listed. It's technically not an armor. Right? But it serves to help out other armors. In fact, it may be the most important thing that's listed because without this belt, nothing else holds into place. I'll get to that in a second. So he says, having girded your loins with truth. And we just looked at particular verses that talk about, but what is this truth? Is this, are we talking about doctrine? Are we talking about feeling? What are we talking about? We're talking about, in one sense, the truth of the scripture, the doctrine, the truth of what God says. We're also talking about how that truth comes into our life as well. Like, for example, some say, well, is it just doctrine? Okay, I'm just going to, yes, I believe everything the Bible says, you know. But if that's just, and hope that's point A, you know, believing everything the Bible says. But if that doesn't connect with how I live my life, it's like saying, yeah, I can affirm to various creeds and then go live my life completely separate as if these didn't exist. So you got to have this because that's the standard, isn't it?
Yes.
Did I lose you guys?
No.
Okay. You got to have this standard. But then it's, as the psalmist says, you desire truth in my innermost being, Psalm 51. So here it is. It's not just knowing, it's having that knowledge, but it's also having the integrity and sincerity as well, right? Now some say, well, truth is really what you sincerely believe in. Oh, it's all about sincerity. Hey, there's so many ways to God, and I sincerely believe my way is the right way, and sincerity is... That's all God cares about is sincerity, right? Now, you don't live your life that way, do you? If I head west believing I'll sincerely make my way to the North Pole, I'm sincerely wrong, right? It does really matter what direction I go. So we don't believe that. Let's just all have warm and fuzzy feelings and say, hey, you believe that so sincerely. I respect that. I'll just let you go. That person's sincerely wrong. If it's sincerely taken to hell, then you're sincerely foolish to put up with that. So sincerity is great, but if it's sincerity in the wrong thing, I don't care. I mean, people who are devoutly into their religion, they're very, some of them are more devout than we are. They get up earlier, they fast more, they do all their kinds of things, and they're on the road to hell.
Yes.
So sincerity isn't it, but truth by itself is not it. That's where the Pharisees were wrong. All they knew all the scriptures. And Jesus says, wait a second, you guys search the scriptures because you think that's where life is. It's these things that speak of me. That's why Jesus says, here's the blessed man. The blessed man is this. He who hears my words, yes, truth, and responds and acts on them. Sincerity. He's like a man who builds his house on the rock. Yes. And the winds came and the storm blew and the winds. And the house was shaken, but it stood because it was built on the foundation. That's where it is. That's what it's James saying. Don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word.
Amen.
You see that?
Yep.
So putting on the belt, the truth has to do with both. Right? Now, this is not truth that I'm inventing. It's truth that I'm hoping that's been recognized from God. So the real question is, well, help me to know the truth. That's why we study our Bibles. That's why we discuss with men's group. We iron sharpens iron. That's why we pray with another. We encourage one another. That's why, as a body, we're doing that, right? And sometimes people say things that are completely off. And we go, hey, you know, here's what the scriptures say, so let's talk about that, right? Truth is something that directs, it guides, it brings stability. In one sense, it enlightens, it clarifies. Lies bring confusion and darkness. Truth enlightens, doesn't it? Oh, I got the truth. I finally got the truth. Yes, now things make sense. You're in the courtroom and finally the person has confessed, I did it, and here is how I did it, and all the evidence fills in, and like, that now makes sense. And up to that point, it's been like, something's been off. Something's been lurking in the darkness. When the truth finally comes out, it's like, that's the key. Truth, of course, brings victory. It brings freedom. As we saw, Jesus says, you'll know the truth. And if you abide my word, you'll be my disciples. You'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. Truth, in one sense, discriminates. It discriminates right from wrong. Right? Good from bad. Right? Why is the Word of God, who is the Word of Truth, it's also called a sharp, you know, the Word of God is like a sharp-edged sword that divides between even the bone and the marrow.
Yep.
That's like microscopic here, you know? And it judges the intentions of the heart. It gives understanding and enlightens. Well, I told some people last night I wouldn't only go 20 minutes, 25 minutes, but I guess I'll have to. I'm kidding. So he says, having girded yourself with, or your loins with truth. And truth, of course, is the Word of God. Truth is the gospel. In fact, did I have you go back to John 17? Go to John 17. Yeah, go to John 17. Again, we're still developing, getting into what this all means. Then we'll finally ask, well, how do you put this? How does that work? How do you put it on? But right now, go to John 17. And this records the actual Lord's Prayer. Not the Our Father, which I still call the Lord's Prayer because it's the Lord, the prayer the Lord gave us. But this is actually Jesus praying. John 17, Jesus praying for his disciples. He also prays for us. He goes, I pray for those who will believe through their ministry, right? But then he says in verse 17, John 17, 17, he says, sanctify them by the truth. The truth sanctifies, doesn't it? The truth shows you where you've gone wrong and what the right path is. That's a good thing. Especially if you're trying to get to the North Pole and you're going west from Arizona. GPS says, turn right. Gotcha. I'm going to get there now. But he says, sanctify them by the truth. Then he says, Father, your word is truth. There it is. Your word is truth. Again, God's truth is exclusive. It's not subjective. You know, what's true for you is true for you. What's true for me is true for me. And we can all say, la-di-da, la-di-da. That's nonsense. None of us believe that in real life. It sounds really nice to say, but in real life, we don't live that way. Right? Truth is narrow. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's narrow, isn't it? Some religions have sort of shades of truth, right? And they have a little bit, oh, this kind of sounds true. You know, it's kind of, I'm gathering some truth, but it's sort of nebulous, not laser beam focused. That's like a dull scalpel. It looks okay, but it's dull and it does no more damage. God's truth is narrow, it's absolute, it is objective. Listen, when we get to the most important thing is the truth of God is not based on how you feel. It is objective. Whether you feel it's true or not, it is objectively true. Amen. The difficult thing is this, learning how to let go of your feelings in the sense of believing God's objective truth over what you feel is true. Yes. That's the challenge of putting on this belt. And it's a real challenge because we're so used to our feelings. Now, feelings are human, aren't they? Feelings can be strong, but sometimes it's like the pilot flying through the clouds. They can't see it. They say, I can't see anything. I got to trust that my instruments are telling me to go this direction. That land is down there. There's a mountain over there. Whatever. If I trust my feelings, I'll start pulling up. I'll turn around. I'm like, oh, I don't know where I'm going. What am I doing? And some of us, our lives are like that because we live by feelings. We turn this. We get emotional here. We pull up there. We go. Before you know it, we're just a mess and we're in a tailspin.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, it starts with this. Objectively deciding to say, okay, my feelings are what they are, but truth, God's word, because God doesn't change.
Amen.
See, that's what you hit the bank on is no matter what, you still love me, God? You're still there? You're still faithful? You're still patient with me, God? You're sure I haven't blown it? Haven't I reached my limit of being forgiven? And have I reached that, God? And God says, no, 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 no. He's the faithful God, isn't he? Jesus says, I am with you always. When he said that, he also understood what would happen in your life. Rabbit trails, what detours, what wrong turns, and now you're stuck in here and you can't get out of there. And he's like, I've been with you the whole time. You mean when I even went away and wandered off and I was that sheep and I was like, ah, help me, bah, you know? You didn't give up on me and say, he knows better than that, she knows better than that, I'm just going to. No, Jesus says, I will leave the 99 and search after the one. There's a reason why he compares us to sheep, because sheep, we're not the smartest animals, right? I don't know what the smartest animals besides, I mean, man is not an animal. Man is man, creation of God. Maybe a dolphin. You know, maybe there's a gorilla somewhere that speaks sign language. You've heard about those. They're smart. But sheep? And so while we're in the midst of all that, it's like, but God, all this, I'm still going to remain faithful. And if I started a work in you, I'm going to continue that work in you. Sometimes we look and say, God, I don't see what you're doing. You're right, we don't. Maybe praise God for that. But no, he has not changed. He remains the same. Truth is constant because God's nature is constant. It doesn't change with popular opinion, with who's in politics, with the latest fad, with who's the this or the that. It doesn't change. That doesn't change. God remains the same. Okay, back to Ephesians. You guys there? So he says, having girded your loins, what in the world is that? I think I'm going to gird my loins today. Okay. Your loins were your midsection here, okay? And if he's thinking of a Roman soldier, they would have put on this belt that would have been like a 6-inch belt that would have kept their tunic in place. Their tunic was we don't wear tunics, because I don't wear a tunic. But it was long. It was a flowing robe. And so the belt would keep it all in place. And they would also attach, like, their daggers, or they have places to attach various things, and their shield would be held there. But their loins were their midsection, right? And that was their strength. That was like the core, you know, they didn't have the core exercises back then. But basically, it's that part. You know how when you get tired, what do? When you get tired, you're like, this, or you're like this, you know, because this is where, right? And so they would put this belt on in order to cinch it all together. And if they were going to do something, do exercise, you know, like ladies, you guys would take off your heels. The men would take their robe and tuck it in their belt and get it so that, you know, they had it all tight so it wouldn't trip them up. And so this belt served to gather everything together, and everything held tightly because of that belt. The belt was on, things are falling off, things are going over, and it was a mess. And if they're getting ready for battle, you know, they're making sure they're geared up and nothing's in the way, that they don't have anything inhibiting their standing or their defense or their walking or their running, right? And so let's think about this. Physically, that's what they would do. Now, Paul may be drawing from the Roman soldier. He also, I think, is drawing from the book of Isaiah, which talks about the Messiah. Go there real fast before I continue. Isaiah 11. Go to Isaiah 11. And verse 5, and this is speaking, of course, the Messiah. I'm just going to skip onto this verse because of time. Also, righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. There's a parallel in Hebrew. It's being a parallel. He's basically saying the same thing. Righteousness will be the belt about his loins. He may be thinking about the Messiah as a divine warrior who comes to defense, right? Go back to Ephesians. And so he says, having girded yourself, your loins with truth. So what does that mean? Okay, so physically, if he's girding up his loins, I mean, he's getting himself ready physically. What's the corresponding idea spiritually, right? Because I can't, you know, take truth and put it about my waist here. That doesn't mean anything. So what does this mean? So if this part of the person is short of their strength or things they have to be cinched together, I think spiritually, well, Jesus says this. Hold on. In Luke 12, he says, be dressed in readiness. Or go to 1 Peter. I'll get you the idea. 1 Peter 1. Here's the idea. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. I'm going to read you two different translations. Therefore, having girded your minds for action, or therefore prepare your minds for action. It's this idea of now, if to a Roman soldier, the wearing of the belt was cinching everything together spiritually is now the belt is preparing your minds for action. You guys still with me? This means, and I'm not going to read you the Greek word because it's really long. It sounds like an Italian word, actually. It's presonimi. It means to fasten with a belt for securing one's clothing, usually in preparation for strenuous activity. To gird your loins with the belt of truth means that everything is cinched together. I'm going to go with my waist, but I'm going to put the belt because I'm thinking about the mind. Everything is cinched together that the truth holds it all in. That everything that I'm, all the thoughts have to go through that barrier of truth. That my concepts, my thoughts, my beliefs have to be held together by truth. Does that make sense? It means to have a commitment to the truth. It means to have your understanding directed by the truth. Again, remember, this is the challenge because so many times we're used to hearing the lies of the enemy and the lies of the world that they get in easily, don't they? It means to be prepared for action. In Exodus 12, when the Israelites were getting ready to have the Passover, it says this. They were to eat the Passover, Exodus 12, 11. Eat the Passover with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat in haste. So they're getting ready to go. They're doing the first drive-through meal, right? Basically, real fast, unleavened bread, staff ready. You're all dressed and ready to go. You're prepared. It means to be ready for action. Does that make sense? Okay, so now here's the million-dollar question. How do we put on the belt of truth? Go back to Ephesians. Because, you know, truth, like any belt, has to be put on, right? I got belts in my closet. If I don't put them on, they don't do me any good, do they? Hopefully I put on the right belt and, you know, put on tightly enough. Truth is of no value if it's hanging unused in God's word. Just because you have a Bible in your house doesn't mean anything until the truth gets from here to here. Right? There's nothing magical. I hate that word magical. There's no osmosis from here to here. I got 10 miles in my, I have Bibles in my bookshelf. I got Hebrew, I got Greek. So what? If I'm not into the Word and if the Word is not in me and affecting how I think, right? It means nothing. It means nothing. And this is how we combat Satan's lies, is with the truth. Psalm 19 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. See, God's word restores the soul because I know that the lies tear down my soul, don't they?
Yes.
So I need God's law or word to restore my soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise is simple. There's confusion and lack of direction by listening to lies, but through God's word, I can get wisdom. I can get insight. I can talk to those who are godly men and women and get insight from them because the word of God has informed them. Right? So how do we put on the belt of truth? I got 3 points real fast, then we'll finish. First of all, we have to be clear what what God says is truth. Be clear on what God says, that what God says is true. I think what happens is this is why Satan's first attack is to question the veracity of God's word. Did God really say? Is God really telling the truth? That's where it begins. That's where the attack really begins. If you come to the scriptures and say, I don't believe any of it. I don't trust God. Well, it's not going to give you benefit. Yeah, it doesn't mean you can't question Scripture, like going through Bible study and say, well, why is this? How come this? That's natural. That's good things. But to come with the Scriptures with this bent of, I don't even trust, am I even going to, that's different, right? So you have to be clear on what God says and what the Word of God is teaching. Truth is not determined by popularity. Truth is not determined by your feelings, right? Some of us, that's how we determine truth. We say, I feel that, da-da-da. I feel that she doesn't like me. I feel that, da-da-da, right? I feel, and those circumstances may change. In fact, when people go through counseling, here's what counseling is supposed to do. The counselor is supposed to bring them from basing their judgments on their feelings to seeing that from the perspective of truth and reality, right? That's the goal of the counselor, to get you to see the actual truth, not to get you out of your feelings. God's truth is separate from our feelings because, as I said, God's truth is constant because he is constant. Some determine the truth based on their intellect, and so they gather information, which is good. God has given all information. Some, because they figure they have a moral compass, and so they say, well, you have different beliefs. It's right for you, right, but for me, it's this. But God's truth is the one who gives the actual moral compass. Morality is based on God's nature, right? So how do you gird your loins with truth? How do you put it on? You take the teaching of the Word of God, as I said before, and it's applied to yourself. The teaching of God's Word, the truth of what God says, and you apply it to yourself. Let's give an example. I don't feel very loved. I feel rejected. Right? I'm a believer. I feel insignificant. Fill in the blank, right? I feel like a complete loser. I feel like a nobody. And what am I saying? I what? I feel. Now, I'm not denying your feelings, right? I'm not denying those feelings. Now, my next step is, what am I doing? Am I going to base my next actions based on those feelings, or am I going to say, well, what does God's Word say? Now, some people don't struggle with this. Some of y'all don't struggle with any conflict. God bless you. That's okay, but some of us do struggle. So we say, but God says he loves me. How? Because he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And God's Word says he doesn't change. So if he loved me yesterday when I was a good boy, he'll love me today if I'm a bad boy, in the sense that his love is constant. I'm giving you very simple, right? The challenge, though, is being aware. It says, wait a second here. This is not supposed to be here. That's why Paul says we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's right. And then when he's talking about every thought in that scripture, he's talking about every idea about Jesus and the gospel, which they're promoting falsely or wrong ideas. So he goes, every idea about God and what God says, I'm taking that captive to say, you know, I'm taking through a TSA thing and say, wrong thought, exit. Wrong, you know, right thought, come on in. You know, that takes discipline. Right? So we have to be clear on what God says is true. Secondly, of how we put on this belt, we have to commit to the integrity and sincerity aspect. Then not just knowing the truth theologically and doctrinally, but also then committing to then applying that truth to my life. Yes. Putting on the belt is this. It is truth applied to your life. That's all it is. And truth always trumps lies. So you wear the belt by this. You apply the truth of God's Word to your life. It's the commitment to decide to accept what God says is truth over what your friends say, over what you would think, over what your family says, or what society says. to embrace and walk by truth. And that often, for some of us, is the most difficult thing. And we're not perfect, right? We're not, I mean, I wish I could press a button and say, I'm the most perfect person. But no, I'm growing. I'm learning. I'm realizing. I'm realizing the depths of God's love. Now you think about this. If you've come out of the world and you've been in darkness, you've been in bondage, you come and now you're free in Christ. And before you were living in darkness and rejection and all kinds of terrible things, you're maybe not as used to the love and kindness and grace of God. You're like, well, what about God deals with you differently? He deals with you because of Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, he deals with you based on Christ's perfection, on Christ's sacrifice, not on you. And some of us, we look back and say, well, it's got to be on me. No, 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 no. That's what the gospel is wonderful at, right? He looks at you and he says, if you're a child of Jesus Christ, you are covered in the blood and his righteousness is on you. He treats you. Yes, okay, practically, he's going to say, hey, John, what you said to Sharon wasn't right. He's going to deal with me. He's going to correct me. That's part of sanctification. I'm going to say, yes, you're right, Lord. That's sanctification. But if I am listening to that and I'm applying and realize, hey, you know, I need to go apologize. I need to make this right. I blew it the other day, you know. That's me listening to the Spirit of truth and then applying that. Does that make sense? You guys know all this. I need to be reminded. But it's allowing yourself to follow and be changed by applying the truth. And thirdly, and this is, I think, it all goes together, is cultivating internal truth, how we talk to ourselves. And the real battle is often between the ears. That's why I think the more you read Scripture, more you sing Scripture, more you meditate on Scripture, those thoughts are in your mind, and you can hold on to those and say, now I can recognize when this lie comes in, because I'm so used to refreshment of the Scripture of God. I'm so used to being encouraged by it. Wearing the belt of truth is a sign this. I am going to commit that nothing's getting in. That's not true. That I'm going to live my life in accordance with God's word. Because it accords with reality. And I'll know really fast if I go away from that. And to not allow and say, well, oh, not, you know, not blur the lines, but to say, no, I'm going to, my life, because I know where that road goes. I know where the road of following lies go. Yeah, that's right. Death and destruction and misery and bondage and confusion. And it's like you keep hitting your head over and over again and wondering why you have a headache. Right? It's telling ourselves the truth about God, about ourselves, about our heart, about our sin. It's being honest about our need for God. It's being honest. That's what confession is. It's really, confession means to see the same things as God. When you confess, here's what you do. It's like God's sitting on the hill and he sees things. And when you confess, you're sitting up next to him in a sense like, I see what you see. That's what confession is. It really is to admit to the truth of the reality. Right? That's why he gives that with healing relationships. There's confession and there's forgiveness. Right? You confess and forgiveness. How do I know if I'm not wearing the belt of truth? Here's why. By effects. First of all, lies. Listening to lies that create confusion. Feelings of hopelessness because you're listening to lies. Your mind hasn't been girded with the belt of truth because if you're a believer, I'm talking to believers. Lies that affect and bring despair and doubt and distrust and distance from God. Well, the reason why this has happened because God doesn't really love you. He's really mad at you, and so he's just punishing you, da-da-da, you know. And so he just can't be trusted. And then you stop going to church. You stop fellowship. You stop reading the Bible. You start feeling sorry for yourself. You start retreating. Am I talking to anyone? You guys wouldn't be here if you were, but maybe I am. When you put on the belt of truth, here's what it is. When you put on the belt of truth, here's what it is. There's certainty about God's truthfulness, and there's certainty of God, about God's love, and there's certainty about his righteousness. There's certainty about his grace. There's certainty about his kindness. That's what wearing the belt of truth. He says, I know, though my feelings be one thing, my mind and the truth of God's word says, he is righteous, he is good, he is gracious, he's long-suffering, he's patient. I am certain about that. Amen. Uncertainty means you don't have the belt of truth on, and all craziness can happen. Yeah. So let me ask you, just, what lies have you been listening to and believing? Have you cinched up the belt of truth amidst your mind? Have you become strict to say nothing is, not, I'm going to hold, everything is going to be held together. Am I living my life according to the truth? Or am I putting up with lies and fabrications and nonsense? What lies am I believing? Those lies can be defended by truth. I don't think I even scratched the surface of this, but it's so important. Only Christianity claims to be the truth.
Yes.
Right? Because it is by the God who is truth. In fact, truth is a person, isn't it? Truth is a person. It's Jesus Christ. The character of truth is the character of Christ. You say, well, truth hurts. It hurts my ego. But sometimes good hurt is good hurt, right? I don't know what lies you've been believing or if your mind has been. Can I just confess something? Can I confess something? I'm going to be transparent, but not naked, okay? It's an inside joke. So I struggle. This whole spiritual warfare I go through this all the time. Maybe some of you guys don't go through it. You're like, what in the world? I go through it, maybe because being a pastor, trying to follow God, I can relate to every single thing that I'm talking about here. Everything. I don't rely on my intellect. I don't rely on my experience. Some of you guys are smarter than me. You guys have more experience. We have pastors. We have godly people in our midst. Some of you guys are more devout than I am. All right? So it's hard for me not to look and say, well, to not live. So this is my battle is there. You guys, okay? That's where my battle is. I can sense when people are praying for me, right? I can really sense that and praise God. God doesn't pick any of us because we deserve it. He is not impressed with one of us. So let's just get that out of the way, okay? There's no auditions here. When God chose David, he wasn't Samuel's first choice. He wasn't Dad's first choice. Right? So there's nothing we can do to try to say, pick me because I deserve this. It's the grace of God.
Yes.
It is completely the grace of God.
Amen.
And the more you think it's what you're doing to deserve it, the less you think about God's grace. That's the battle here. No, you don't deserve it. I can't explain God's grace. I try to explain the God's grace. I can't. Other than it is completely the choice of God. He says, I will be compassionate while I'm compassionate, right? I'll be merciful to him. That's in God's territory. So it is all God's grace. So truth is this, God's grace. Lies is, it's all on you. And that's the battle. Does it make sense? That's why when we come to heaven, we're going to throw our crowns at Jesus and says, "You're worthy." We sang that. You're worthy. Not, "Here, God, here's my resume of all the things I've done for you." God's like, Jesus says, "Here's what I've done for you." Right? Okay, you're worthy. The devil will always try to get you to look at yourself, put your eyes on yourself. That's where the beginning comes of not having your belt on properly. Here's your belt. Tighten your belt. Get my eyes off myself and get them on Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
Yep.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the armor that you have given us to combat the attacks of the enemy. Lord, I want to pray, first of all, as we're just reflecting on where we're just learning here, is perhaps there's some of us who have, maybe we don't have our belt of truth on, so to speak. Maybe it's too loose. Maybe we're allowing lies to enter our minds and our understanding. God, would you help us, Lord, to look to Christ? It is the finished work of Jesus Christ that matters the most. It is his shed blood. It is his kindness and his grace and his mercy that makes the difference. It's not us. Lord, none of us deserve it, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, to be believers who worship you in spirit and truth, Lord. Who delight in your word, who delight in the truth. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be sensitive to the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, in our walk and sanctification, becoming more like Jesus. Your love doesn't change, and you don't change, God. And so, Lord, I just pray your help on all of us, Lord. Help us to wear this belt, to gird our minds for action, to be sober, to be alert, to be committed to you and to your word. God, I pray for each person here, no matter, and everyone who's watching online, no matter what stage or walk we are with Christ, all of us are needing him. None of us have graduated. We all need your help. We all need your encouragement. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Why don't we stand up? That was a long 20 minutes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Amen. God is good. I want to sing that song now. Well, we are going to come to our... I can't believe that Easter is in March this year, so a little early. But that's okay. Tell your friends in a couple weeks. I want to read to you the benediction at the end of Hebrews. The writer says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, our Lord Jesus, equip you in every good thing to do his will by doing in us what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever." And everyone said, amen. Amen. Guys, have a wonderful week. God's blessings be on you. See you guys, Lord willing, on Thursday at the prayer night, if not on Sunday. We'll see you.